Do you like child hunger? That's right, you don't. So, if you want to fight child hunger, go to www.gofundme.com/pbphotwings and donate some money today. All the proceeds go to the charity. And on November 12th, you get to watch the host of the Passersby podcast and Dev from Snake Oil Comics and Shot of History eat some of the hottest hot sauces known to man live on Facebook. Help fight child hunger and watch some idiots eat some hot wings. Once more, that's www.gofundme.com/pbphotwings.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the show. This is a podcast about the strange and unusual, the secret and conspiracies, the fringe and the supernatural. This is a show where we do little to no research on our topics. We are not professionals in any field except speculation. This is the Secret Transmission Podcast, and today we're going to talk about the Bunny Man myth. I am your host, Toby. And I have my lovely, lovely co-host with me. Please introduce yourself.
Rudy.
Yeah! Thanks for stealing my spotlight.
You jumped right in front of her.
Kristen.
And Tyler.
So, today, guys, we're talking about the Bunny Man. What do you think the Bunny Man is? What comes to mind when I say, when I told you, hey guys, we're going to do an episode on the Bunny Man? What do you think of?
Me and Rudy already said it. We said Donnie Darko.
Right. That's, yeah.
What do you think, Tyler?
I feel like he's like the Easter Bunny, but instead of leaving eggs, he leaves plastic eggs with, like, bunny poop in there.
The only other thing I thought about was, like, Goat Man, but only bunny topped. Yes, half human body with bunny parts.
The only other thing I could think of was possibly a serial killer that wore like a bunny outfit.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm. Mm.
But I hadn't heard any kind of myth or legend about that, so I wasn't sure.
This is all new.
Well, the Bunny Man is an urban legend from Fairfax County in Virginia. He is said to carry an axe and wear a bunny costume. He is violent and deadly.
Bingo!
So, yeah.
Rudy got it.
I'm a sick-minded person, apparently.
You may be the Bunny Man.
So got to my fucking idea first.
Stole my Bunny Man out.
So, with any good myth, there are usually several different stories of how something got started. And we're going to start with the story that I found on Creepypasta. Kristen's going to read it. She has never read it before. So,
be patient.
Be patient.
Wait for me to go, what the fuck?
So, take it away, Kristen.
Okay, back in 1903, deep in Clifton, there used to be an asylum buried deep within the wilderness of Clifton. Pretty soon after the Civil War, people started inhabiting the area. Population-wise, around 300 or so, it was a very small town. Nonetheless, people didn't like the idea of having an asylum miles down the road. So they all got together and signed a petition for the asylum to relocate elsewhere. The petition passed and a new asylum was built, which is now known as Lorton Prison, a temporary facility for convicts to stay in until they are appropriately sentenced. In the autumn of 1904, the convicts were gathered and piled into the bus, used to transport them to Lorton. Somewhere during the drive, not too far from where they left, the driver had swerved to avoid something and the bus had started to tip, and soon was rolling in a terrible collision force. Most of the convicts were injured, but managed to escape the bus and had fled into the night towards the woods. The next morning, a local police investigation had begun, and they began rounding up the escaped convicts. Hours turned into days, days into weeks, and weeks into months. Everyone was recovered after 4 months except for two people, named Marcus A. Walster and Douglas J. Griffin. During the search for both men, the police found dead rabbits, all of them half-eaten and dismembered, every now and then along their search. Finally, they were to find Marcus dead by the Fairfax Station Bridge, now known as Bunny Man's Bridge. In his hand, he held a man-made hammer-slash-knife-like tool made with a sharp rock and a sturdy branch as a handle. They thought nothing of it and didn't care how he died, only that he was apprehended and they no longer had to worry about him. They had a name for Marcus, but later on they would realize that they named him the wrong person, the Bunny Man. Still searching for Douglas, they kept on finding dead half-eaten rabbits every so often while the search went on. Eventually, they went to name Douglas the Bunny Man from then on. Months passed by and the police gave up their search. Everybody assumed the Bunny Man was dead by now, if not gone, so they went on their small town lives. Come October, people started seeing dead bunnies reappearing out of the blue and starting to fear the unseen. Halloween night came around, and as usual, a bunch of kids had gone over to the bridge that night to drink and do whatever kids their age in the early 20th century did. Midnight came around within minutes, and most of the kids had left. Only three of them remained at the bridge. Exactly at midnight, a bright light came from the bridge where the kids were. A few seconds later, they were all dead, throats slashed with that same type of tool that was found next to the other escapee, Marcus. Not only were their throats slashed, but they were cut up and down their chest, gutted like fish. The Bunny Man then hung both of the boys from one end of a bridge with rope around their necks, hanging from the overpass with their legs dangling in view of any passing cars. The girl was hung the same way on the other side of the bridge. This happened on Halloween in 1905. After that, they didn't see or hear anything from him for another year. Halloween 1906 is approaching, and parents as well as teens in Clifton still remember the incident that had occurred 1 year ago at the bridge. His bridge, the Bunny Man's bridge. That night, seven teens were left remaining right before midnight at the bridge. Thinking little of it, six remained instead of the bridge, while one, Adrian Hatala, had remained a good distance from the bridge, hoping to have enough time to escape if the same thing had happened again. She was the only one to witness this. A dim light, walking the railroad track just before midnight, stopping right above the bridge at midnight, then disappearing at the same time that a bright flash was inside the bridge. She heard the deafening sounds of terrified screaming coming from inside the bridge that lasted only seconds. Moments later, they were all hung from the edge of the bridge in the same way as the corpses a year earlier. Horrified, she ran home and refused to tell all of what she saw, just spattered words mixed with incoherent mumblings that the people of her town had put together to come up with her story. No one understood it or believed her. They charged her with the teen's murders and locked her up in the asylum of Lorton. In 1913, the same thing happened, with nine teenagers this time, on a Halloween night once again. Adrian was still locked up. They dropped her sentence, but it was too late. The insanity had finally conquered her. Even if she was released, she was too far gone to have a life. So she spent her remaining years in the asylum until she finally died in 1953 of reported shock. No one knows what exactly she died of shock from, but supposedly she died in her sleep, dreaming of that one dreaded night. Perhaps the Bunny Man had finally gotten to her. More murders were to take place, however, although after the murders in 1913, most people stayed clear of the bridge on Halloween. 1943 rolls around, the six teenagers go strolling out on Halloween night. A couple of hours later, all of them dead, same way as all the others. Investigations took place, but as usual, nothing was discovered. 1976, the same situation occurs, this time with only three people. The only other incident that occurred since then was in 1987, 12 years ago. Janet Charlottier was enjoying the night with her four friends. Halloween night had finally come, and they had gone driving out to enjoy the night after invading the children's candy bags. They had settled around 11 p.m. at the bridge, waiting for midnight to come. They didn't believe in the myth, so they decided to see it for themselves, and were to be the only ones who actually withstood the Bunny Man. They had waited around an hour or so. It was nearly midnight when Janet started getting a little scared. They all had been pulling pranks on each other, jumping out of the bushes and screaming, so she was already a little worked up. Midnight hits, and by this stage, she is in a total panic. She's almost out of the bridge when the lights get really bright outside. When that happens, her body is halfway outside of the bridge. She sees her skin start tearing at her chest, but nothing is piercing her skin. She manages finally to leave the bridge, completely horrified. She hits a hanging body and knocks herself out. When she awakens, she discovers that she has been bleeding. She was lucky that the cut had just started and wasn't very bad at all. She left and never returned to the bridge again. She had been sitting on a swinging bench on her balcony every morning, just staring in the direction towards the bridge a couple of miles down. From then on, the story remains untouched and unmoved.
That is the long tale from Creepypasta of the Bunny Man.
Very interesting.
So, what do you think?
It's just like any other creepypasta, just a nice little take on a myth. I want to hear what the real thing is. I'm kind of curious.
The reason I had her read the creepypasta is because some of the other stories that I have, they pull from that story, but they have different... They're just slightly different.
Right.
So, I wanted the creepypasta to be our...
main focus?
Well, the main story that we talk about. Because everything else is just like a spin-off of that. Or it goes in a different direction.
Right.
So that's why I figured... As long as I know it was, I know it was really long, and I'm glad you read it because I would have jacked that up 100,000 times. We'd have still been reading halfway through.
A couple of times.
Well,
my main thing is that it's at the very end. It sounds as if the bridge is haunted. So if it's haunted, usually that's by a spirit. So when they found the guy at the Bunny Man Bridge and he was all slashed open, if he wasn't the Bunny Man, the other guy was. It's kind of weird that. You know, if they never found his body and he is dead, like, usually, you know, people haunt the place that they last lived and died or had something bad happen to him. So it's like, why didn't they ever find his body? Like,
well, see, and that I think,
or maybe there wasn't a bunny man and it was a bunny man who drove him off the road and they happened to just all catch up with the bunny man.
Ooh, I didn't think about that.
And right. Die.
Yeah.
Maybe the bunny man was something that existed. To cause the crash,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, cause the crash and swerved him, and that was
his
food.
See, that's what I thought, too, was...
He eats bunnies in the meantime, but he's really a cannibal, and he needed that whole bus.
Spoiler, that's not in any of the other stories, but that's a good theory.
Right.
Copycat serial killer from the first girl. Has to be.
Yeah.
She's the only one that saw the bright light. She's the only one that saw anything.
Right.
Other than that, all the kids died.
Right. But it just goes to prove how
there should be no story.
She did it.
Huh?
She did it.
What do you mean?
She is the copycat.
But it has to be just the bridge.
Oh, wow.
Once you got out from the
first
bridge,
one.
Yes.
And then it just happened to copycat until...
I don't know. I think, like, it has to be just it's a tunnel. It's just a tunnel that is haunted, because obviously she was able to make it out. But it goes to show that people will play with death, because obviously they all know about the bridge. That's not a tale that just fades off. It's brought down from generation to generation, but...
Yeah,
I mean, I guess it's the same with people playing with Ouija boards or going to haunted houses. We know that it's all bad, but...
But I like that last one about how she was half in, half out, and it was cutting her, but it didn't kill her.
And she didn't see anything.
And
she didn't see anything.
So she killed everyone else and then hurt herself.
This is the thing that it doesn't say either.
She started to cut herself. She was about to kill herself.
It was a defensive wound. Somebody got her before
she was trying to kill herself, so she, you know, like a suicide murder
thing.
She
was panicking.
And she passed out.
She passed out.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's what my theory is on that one, too. Like, it doesn't go into full detail of where they found her at. Like, if it is a tunnel that is haunted and she knocked herself out with her own body, which side did she fall out on?
Right.
In the tunnels, did she fall back into the tunnel or did she fall outside of the tunnel because she is still living?
Right.
Well, then she fell out of the tunnel.
No one knows.
And the lights.
Maybe she's the one that got away. Maybe she's Bunny Man's lover now.
The lights are a myth because every other instance, everyone dies. The only people that see it was a crazy person and somebody that got half cut.
And then the other guy that stayed away from the bridge, or the other girl, Adrian, she saw it. She saw the lights but didn't die.
Yeah, that's the crazy one I was talking about.
She saw the lights and that. So there's two people that saw the lights and didn't die because she said it got real bright outside. So.
So they're assuming that the lights were present at the other incidences based on the testimony.
He just killed her the
people.
Time that the train's coming, and the bright light is the train because it is on a tunnel.
Right. Well, let's...
It is a conductor. I figured it out.
Conductor's pulling.
Conductor stopping the train. On the railroad tracks with a razor hatchet.
He makes a special stop at midnight on Halloween at this particular bridge.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And then he just drives off.
Further.
Yeah. And there's no one.
And no one knows who he is.
And we got it. Well, let's take a break. Okay. And then when we come back, we will go into another tale, version of this tale. We will be right back.
Which you can find the pause button.
Don't know me how to live my life.
You ever wonder when Spider-Man goes to the bathroom if the toilet paper sticks to his fingers?
You ever wonder why Superman wears his underwear outside of his pants?
My name is Imran.
My name is Anthony.
He's the jock!
And he's the nerd.
And we're your hosts for the Jock and Nerd Podcast, where we sometimes try to attempt to answer these questions.
This is a full spoiler podcast, and we swear a lot.
Check it out for awesome geek news, interviews, and comic book reviews. Visit jockandnerd.com. We are your superhero TV, movies, and comic book culture curators.
Boom.
Jockandnerd.com.
Jock and Nerd.
So he says, that's how you get inside out, wiener.
Oh, sorry. Didn't see you there. We were just talking about our new favorite podcast, the Careless Deviation Podcast.
Oh, yes. Those boys are the best.
The show feels like you're just sitting on the porch with an old friend. Kim Kardashian says it's like a cold drink of tea on a warm summer day.
Oh, and they are. See, I was going to end it all, and these boys saved my life. I came home drunk one day, lit a cigarette, fell asleep, burned the whole house down. Lost the kids and the wife. They brought me back from the edge, they did.
We've all been there. Tom here slept with my wife while I was out of town. When I found out, I went to his house to kittle him. When I showed up, he was listening to Careless Deviation. Well, needless to say, I dumped that fat whore and Tom and I became the best of friends.
Now we're like two peas in a pod.
Podcast, that is. You can find them on Stitcher and iTunes.
Don't forget their website, carelessdeviationpod.com.
Oh, and make sure you follow them on Twitter, @deviationpod. And they will be on YouTube soon, so keep an eye out for that. New episodes every Wednesday.
Careless Deviation, your new old friend.
Welcome back. We're going to start talking about a few different versions of the Bunny Man myths. So, very similar to the first story, the police find Griffin, but when they tried to apprehend him at the overpass, he was hit by an oncoming train where the original transport had crashed. They say after the train passed, the police heard laughter coming from the area. It is eventually revealed that Griffin was institutionalized for killing his family and children on Easter Sunday. For years after the Bunny Man's death, during Halloween, carcasses are said to be found hanging from the overpass and the surrounding areas. Some say this version is false because of the inconsistencies. Inconsistencies.
There's one.
God damn it, I just can't say it. Okay.
Gotta have a good list for that one.
Nope, not gonna do it.
Spell it out.
Nope.
Or sound it out.
Nope. We're done with it already.
Alright, it's inconsistencies, okay? The story's jacked.
So, there has never been an asylum for the insane in Fairfax County. That Lawton Prison didn't come into existence until 1910. And even then, it was an arm of the District of Columbia correction system, not Virginia's. And court records show neither a Griffin or a Walster was there.
Plus, it was a cover-up.
What prison?
What prison?
Lawton.
Lawton. Damn it. two. Are we keeping a track of how bad I am?
Two.
We always do.
Oh, so we're at two.
I was like, Lawton Prison's not going to appreciate it. I felt she
nudged me too, and I was like, fuck, I missed something, but I'm just going to keep on rocking and rolling. Okay. So some say... Oh, I just read that. See? Three? No, we're not going to count that one.
Cryptozoologist Lauren Coleman, via his blog on Cryptomundo and book Weird Virginia, in a section on the Bunny Man, wrote that a direct association between the legend of Bunny Man and that of the Goat Man near Maryland. What?
She brought up Goat Man earlier.
That, but he also fucked up, which made it sound completely weird. What wrote that? About, not wrote that. He didn't write that a direct association between legend. He wrote about.
No. Well, he wrote about a direct association.
Four.
Okay. Oh, okay.
We're counting four.
All right.
So, yeah, like...
I got this.
You were right, though. Like, it does sound like Goatman because it might be. The Goatman legend, if you don't know the Goatman legend, he's half goat, half man, and wields an axe and chases cars.
I just hope that you tie in why it's Halloween, because they didn't say he was killed on Halloween. They just said the autumn of is whenever the van crash happened. No one has tied it into why on Halloween all these killings happen.
I think
that just seems like the folklore part of it.
I think I'm going to
see he's dead in the spirit, then Halloween would be the correct answer.
Don't you know nothing about nothing? Halloween's scary.
Yeah, but isn't that, that's a Hispanic culture, though. Like, what is it? The
Day of the Dead?
The Hispanics are right.
Yeah. Was he Hispanic?
Okay, and sure.
He didn't have to believe it.
Sure. Douglas doesn't sound very Hispanic to me.
If the dude killed his family on Easter, wouldn't Easter be the reoccurring theme, not Halloween?
And so that's... That makes that weird.
It's like the deviled eggs weren't up to par this year.
Because if it's good, if it's a good myth, you want to do it on the anniversary of the tragedy, not...
What? That's what I'm saying. Why, you know, like... Now I get it why the spirit haunts the tunnel, because he was killed on the railroad tracks. I didn't know that.
It's like, Halloween.
Well, that's... I wanted you to read the creepypasta so you could see, like, what the other legends add to it, or what they borrow from it.
I just think Halloween's just a good cover for any creepy
story. Yeah, I mean, it is. That's what it's like. Really, Halloween is just, like you said, like it's
the scapegoat for crappy urban legends.
Everybody thinks the most horrific things on Halloween.
Oh, Skate Bunny.
Skate Bunny? Yeah. Okay, since I'm bad at reading, you want to read this next part?
No. I want to de-evolve this episode into a how many times can Toby screw up?
Well, it's always a lot. Just listen to any episode, and
he's just gonna edit it out.
I edit a lot of it out. That's right. The magic of me editing everything.
You should have a contest for the listeners to see how many times they, you know,
how many times I don't edit something out.
Right.
Okay. So another version of Bunny Man is a deranged teenager who is wearing a white bunny suit and murdered his entire family. He later hung himself from the bridge. It is his spirit haunting the area and has killed more than 30 people and chases children off with his axe. Again, this sounds like the Goatman stuff. No records show of this happening or any hangings from the bridge or homicides near the bridge. So a lot of versions are just slight twists of the previous ones, like I said.
I have so many different things that could be the reason why. Like, even though I get it that it happened on Easter and that's where the bunny thing comes in, but what if it, like, the reason why, you know, because he hangs them upside down and everything like that, what if he actually is a serial killer, but also was, like, very crazy and nutty, and he had a bad childhood past with going hunting with his dad for rabbits, and that's what sticks in his mind. So he's always, like, hurting people and hanging them like rabbits, because that's the worst point in time of his life, and gutting them.
So far, these are all the myths and legends. Different stories, different versions. They're not too far from each other. Like I said, they're about the same. Do you want to hear some actual sightings? Like,
sure.
Reported sightings.
Yeah.
By who?
There's that too.
Okay. Take it away, Kristen.
On October 19th, 1970, U.S. Air Force Academy cadet Bob Bennett and his fiancée were in Burke, Virginia, visiting relatives on Guinea Road. Around midnight, the two had left. Oh man, you messed me up. It's your typing.
No,
that messes
at midnight
up.
At
midnight, the two had left a football game and had parked their car in a field to visit an uncle who lived across the street from where the car was parked. As the two sat in the front seat with the car still running, they noticed something moving outside the rear window. Out of nowhere, the front passenger window was smashed by a white figure. Bob quickly tried to drive out of the field, and the man was screaming at them, saying they were trespassing and yelling, "You're on private property and I have your tag number." Once they got down the road, they got out to inspect the car. They discovered a hatchet on the car floor. Bob and his fiancé called the cops. When the police asked for a description of the man, Bob told them he was wearing a white suit with long bunny ears. His fiancé remembered something white and pointed like Ku Klux Klan hood. They both claimed to have seen his face, but in the dark they couldn't really identify him or determine his race. Oh my god. The police returned the hatchet to Bob after their reports, and he was also required to report the incident to the Air Force Academy. Are there other races that have the Ku Klux Klan?
I don't know.
I find one thing wrong with that.
What?
He was in the Air Force. Can't be trusted.
Says a Navy man. So what do you think? I mean, he reported this, him and his girlfriend? Fiancé? They reported it to the cops, and he's also now required to, since he had an incident while on leave, has to report it to the academy.
Right.
So is he nuts?
A white suit with bunny ears.
Or it could have been a Ku Klux Klan.
Everyone in Virginia probably has a freaking hatchet. So it's probably a dude in a robe coming everyone out of his land. A white robe with a hatchet.
Way to group every
It's like he had a towel on his head because he just stepped out the shower. His car parked
like,
in his
like, there's
hat,
some damn teenagers again. And he just ran outside.
You know what? Hold on. Here's my theory. I like that he just got out of the shower. It's someone, because he said, "You're trespassing on my land."
Right.
He has a onesie. Like a little kid onesie.
Oh, yeah.
And it just happens to be
footy pajamas?
Footy pajamas.
Footy pajamas. And he runs out and he has the hood up and it's got the bunny ears.
I'd wear the shit out of some footy pajamas.
I don't know how popular those were in 1974 adults. I think that's
I'm just going to say, if anyone out there wants to buy me a footy pajamas with bunny ears, I will be the bunny man.
It's October, so probably a fur jacket.
A fur jacket.
Maybe just...
Is Virginia cold?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Ooh.
Booyah!
Okay, I guess it is pretty north, huh? We're down here in hell, Texas.
Yeah, but to smash someone's Hellfire window with an axe and yell
but
at them,
but they may have been there at the wrong place at the wrong time, because maybe he has had plenty of trespassers and kids on his land.
I say, that's a little extreme, though, you know?
If you're fed up with something, you're fed up with it.
It's true.
I've seen somebody get out of the car in the middle of the road and yell at somebody just because they were falling too close.
I purposely won't get over on the highway if people are trying to get on because they have a yield sign.
You're going to get a hatchet in the back windshield.
Fine. I'll at least be in the right.
Just make sure, see if he has bunny ears so we can go ahead and tie this back to the story.
I'll put some fucking bunny ears on that guy.
You heard of the bunny man, bitch? I'm about to hang you from that bridge.
Go ahead and
create our own myth.
Read this next part. The next night.
The next night, October 29th, 1970, a second sighting happened. Paul Phillips, a construction security guard, approached a man standing on the porch of an unfinished home in Kings Park, west on Guinea Road. Paul claims the man was wearing a gray, black, and white bunny costume. He looked about 20 years old and about 5 feet 8 inches, not including the ears, and weighed about 175 pounds. Paul claims the man began chopping at the porch post with a long-handled axe while saying, "All you people trespass around here. If you don't get out of here, I'm going to bust you on the head." The police of Fairfax County did try to investigate both incidents, but were closed due to lack of evidence. In the following weeks after the incidents, over 50 people contacted the police claiming to have seen the bunny man. Several newspapers reported the incident of the bunny man eating a man's runaway cat, including the following articles in the Washington Post. Man in bunny costume sought in Fairfax, October 22, 1970. The rabbit reappears, October 31, 1970. Bunny man seen, November 4, 1970. And bunny reports are multiplying, November 6, 1970.
No pun intended.
In 1973, University of Maryland College Park student Patricia Johnson submitted a research paper that chronicled precisely 54 variations on those two events.
So what do you think now?
I think it's... I think it's a group of jack wagons, like trolls back in the day, just dressed up in bunny costumes.
Just bored teenagers?
Yeah, doing stupid things with, you know, and saying stupid things. I would do something like that for funsies.
Really, really bad copycats.
Right.
Especially they didn't Halloween. Even kill them. I mean, how yeah. do we get yeah,
they weren't even
costumes.
Hanging anyone.
Right.
We all like Jason and Freddy Krueger, so that's how you get those costumes. So people are going to dress up as them.
One of these days, okay, one of these days, I'm going to be a clown, and I'm just going to stand in front of my workplace on my day off, and I'm just going to stand there and
Excuse
just scare
me?
The shit out of people.
I work there.
Right. Just because I want to, you know, troll. What's the difference in that? You know, that you can get bunny costumes. And, it, you know, if there is a myth yeah. already a legend from
in
1970, the
1900s. I'm sure their parents were great seamstresses. So they're like, here's your bunny costume. Shut up and get out of my hair.
And it's like, why do you want a bunny costume? Oh, because it's fun.
But
and then they're chopping things up with it.
Where's Dad's hatchet? Yeah. Does the bunny ever leave the porch?
Is it crazy that the Washington Post posted multiple articles, and the first couple, man in bunny costume sought in Fairfax, the rabbit reappears, bunny man seen, like they all sound serious, and then they right. get silly with the bunny reports are multiplying,
right?
Like yeah. they I think do you think that they were taking them serious at first and then they were just like, all right, this is getting
yeah,
out of hand.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what sells newspapers,
right?
Though.
Things
puns?
That get out of hand. Yeah, puns.
That, but like, you know, scary stuff. People will, if it's more likely to say, oh, you know, flowers are blooming, blah, blah, blah. No one's going to pick it up. But if they see murder written all over the page, they're going to be more interested and their curiosity peaks and they're going to buy the newspaper and open it up and look at it.
But well, why take a stray cat
and eat it?
Yeah. Why not a bunny? Stick to the myth for crying out loud.
Well,
hold on, hold
raccoon.
On. I could sell a newspaper. I've got a pun headline. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I cooked
if
this up.
If it's not good, I'm throwing something at you.
Okay, hold on. Bunny man situation gets hairier.
Jesus.
All right, where is it?
Hairier? No. God dang it. I thought that was clever. It hit me and I was like, oh, I got to interrupt everything. Stop the presses. I got it.
Well, it hit you.
Yeah.
And I almost hit you.
It wasn't as
the
good.
The turtle
as
has nothing on this wild hair.
So, again, think that it's just teenagers in the 70s with no internet porn
right.
to keep them busy.
Right.
Yep.
yeah, I mean, really.
Probably the easiest to come by.
Right. Animals were popular back then. They didn't really have superheroes that they could, you know... They did in comics, but they were rare to dress up as back then.
Yeah. There was no cosplay.
Right. Maybe this was like the birth of, like, the furries.
The furries,
yeah.
If you don't know what that is. Tyler's looking at me confused.
If you don't know what that is, just do a quick little Google search. Have some fun with it.
Don't
you
do
know.
A Google search.
Yes,
it's
do a
grown,
Google search.
It's going to get rated R. It's grown-ass people dressing up in furry
oh God,
suits and humping
yeah,
each other.
Like animals.
They have cons.
I think I've seen an episode.
Where they all dress up and go and hump each other.
Yeah.
I've seen Hunger Force or something.
Yeah,
no judgment on anybody, by the way.
Yeah,
no
you can be a furry. Or is that what they're called?
Yeah, furries.
Yeah, furries.
Yeah, okay.
Can't wait to get home tonight.
I know what I'm looking into.
And in this household, 3 out of 4 people know what a furry is.
Yeah, that's
old news.
Right? He's like, I don't know.
Where has this been all my life?
What are you looking at? I'm Googling, okay?
And you're going to get one or two listeners that are like, furries? What the hell are furries?
Yeah.
Oh, hello. I found something new.
Well, let's take another small break. And we'll come back with just a little history on the bridge and just some of the more boring stuff, but I figured we'd talk about it anyway. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey there, fellow podcast fans. Do you love comic books and especially Swamp Thing? Get out of the bayou. So do we. Come check out the Parlapod Show, the world's only podcast dedicated to the muck-encrusted mockery of a man himself, Swamp Thing. This is some serious arcane audio as we chat with comic book professionals, reviews, spoofs, talk about back issues. Everything swampy under the sun happens here. Give us a listen at Parlapod.com, iTunes, iTunes, SoundCloud, Podomatic, our YouTube channel, and we're on every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern on PodcastRadioNetwork.net. Join your hosts, Dave and John, Parlapod.com. Let's go into the green. We'll see you in the swamps. In the swamps.
Hey, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Ben.
And we both have a lot of opinions about video games.
So many, in fact, that we decided we want to talk about them in the most overindulgent way possible.
So we made a podcast.
This is the Gorge Podcast with Ben and Sarah. Each episode, we find a new video game or game-related topic and spend time gorging ourselves on overanalyzing it.
We're here to break down what makes our favorite games so great and what makes our not-so-favorite games not so great.
So, if the idea of two geeks gushing about their favorite game sounds appealing to you, tune in every week-ish for a new episode.
Or, you know, whenever you want. It's a podcast, it's not radio.
Hey, this is Nock from the Geek Yogurt Podcast. Tune in every week as we discuss movies, TV, comics, and video games. We are on Podbean, iTunes, Satchel, or on your favorite podcast app. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter at Yogurt Podcast and weigh in on our weekly topics.
Say aluminum.
Nope, not gonna say aluminum. Not gonna say it. Wait, I said it as I say it. God damn it.
Okay. You're not gonna get me to say aluminum. Wait.
We're back. Kristen is going to read a little history on the bridge. And again, this may get a little dry, but I just figured this was something that needed to be involved with the actual facts of this bridge. So. Right. Kristen, my love, take it away.
History on the bridge.
Good job.
This wasn't in my email, anyway, that you sent me that I was supposed to be reading.
Well, I'm sorry.
Because of its association with the legend, Colchester Overpass is a popular destination for paranormal enthusiasts and others interested in the legend. Colchester Overpass was built in about 1906 near the site of Sangster's Station, a Civil War era railroad station on what was once the Orange and Alexandria Railroad. Interest increases around Halloween, and starting in 2003, local authorities began controlling access in the area during that time. During Halloween 2011, over 200 people, some from as far away as Pennsylvania-Maryland state line, were turned away during a 14-hour traffic checkpoint into the area. Non-local visitors could be unaware that Colchester Overpass is an active intersection of trains and traffic. The railroad tracks overhead are used by Norfolk Southern Railway, Virginia Railway Express, and Amtrak trains. In the vicinity of Colchester Overpass, Colchester Road is narrow and windy, with limited visibility. In Fairfax County, Virginia, it is illegal to trespass on posted railroad tracks or to loiter in a public roadway.
So, it's safe to say that you should not go search for the Bunny Man. I don't believe it's safe because of the curvy roads, and you also may get a ticket.
Okay, Dad.
Well, I mean, I'm putting that disclaimer in there so someone's not like, Secret Transmission told me to do it.
I'd be more worried about some weirdos in costumes running around trying to,
Maybe that's why
they don't create a tourist attraction.
They don't want you to go because he's actually there. They're trying to protect you.
Copy bunnies.
So, I mean, what do we think altogether on this myth, this legend of the Bunny Man?
I think it's a neat little creepypasta as far as the story goes. A nice little myth. Maybe something to bring in a little, weirdness to a certain area.
Right, but see, I really feel like this legend started before the creepypasta post. Like, right. I feel like this was something that was there, and then someone wrote it into a creepypasta.
Right. Every little creepypasta you read has origins in some kind of weird little urban legend from some area, so...
Do you believe in any of these, like, parts of the stories? Because there's got to be... I always feel like there's some type of reality in most legends. Like, right. Somewhere.
Well, if it started as a myth, And then in the 70s, those kids were doing stupid things with the bunny costumes and the axes. I mean, why not? You know, there could be a little bit snippet of truth somewhere, but, you know, where do we find... But you, like you said earlier, there were no police reports, there were no documents of the two guys that allegedly escaped and all that right. stuff, so the actual facts of it are kind of lacking for it to be an actual, you know, thing.
Right. What do you think, Tyler? Do you think this is has any truth to it? Do you think this is all just a big story for kids to stay away from the goddamn bridge?
I believe maybe there was a train accident, and that's what parents told their children, so they would never go back.
Ooh, you know Ooh, what? Yeah, that's, hey. That's a good point. What right. if it... Maybe not even a train accident happened, but what if it's just... Because that's what a lot of stories are. They're hell, in our superstitions, we came up with, like, you know, like...
A bunch of them that were just, like...
It's obvious.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's some of the stories and some of the, you know, superstitions are obvious, like, oh, yeah, you don't go there because it's dangerous.
Footloose.
You'll hurt yourself.
Footloose. You know how in the movie they tell them not to dance because it's a devil's work? And they just made up the stories to sit there and make sure the kids didn't do certain things so that they wouldn't get in a bunch of trouble, like drink and do stuff. Sometimes they go to that kind of extent.
Mm-hmm. Extent or extreme?
Extreme. I told you, I'm slurring over here. I'm having a hard time.
I was just trying to clarify. For no reason.
Just to count up oopsies in here.
What do you think, Kristen?
I think that it's great for tourist attraction, and that's why it kept going. But there's so many different things about it. Like, if I have to narrow it down... Okay, so, like, instead of people getting, like, their pitchforks and everything, and their torches and going after this, maybe since there was a bunch of killers and nobody really wanted the sane asylum, and then they turned into a prison... that a townsman sat there and dressed up in a bunny costume to deter it and killed all the people on there. So he knew that they wouldn't go against, like, wouldn't go to the prison. Like, maybe one of the people on the train, on the bus killed his family and he wanted revenge, and the only way to do that, and so no one would talk, was to kill everyone on the van.
Oh, you know what? Did we ever clarify if the crash actually happened? That was the transport bus?
The van turned... Well, Creepypasta says the van turned over and they fled from the van.
In one of the other stories, they say, you know, that they did escape or whatever. So I wonder if there was... Now, in the one that I read, it said that there was no insane asylum.
Right.
But I wonder if there was some kind of... Crash.
Maybe like a transportation crash in that area?
Yeah, at least that. Maybe that might be the snippet of truth from that.
Right. I mean, you could get all kinds of good things out of that.
Right. You know? And then of course, man, I don't know. It's
bus,
I really wish...
Bus full of convicts flips over and a bunch of them escape? Come on. You know, there's got to be at least one psycho in the group.
That's a story. You don't even have... If you didn't even have the bunny man part of it, if you just said, yeah... That their bridge is where the bus flipped over carrying psychos.
Yeah,
you could tell
Maybe
children.
Maybe they had a coyote infestation, and that's why all the rabbits were dead.
All those convicts were loose, so parents told the children that there was a bunny man that'd kill children or whatever if they went to that bridge,
just to keep them away from
convicts.
Maybe the bunny man like idea came from. The convict eating the rabbits, and there's no bunny like suit at all. It's just the story has evolved and evolved.
The convicts eating the rabbits for like
to stay alive.
Yeah,
I have always heard that prison food is horrible. but rabbit food is better.
Could it be let's.
You ever tried to catch a rabbit though?
Yes.
Yeah, you gotta be good,
right?
And if you're a crazy convict, I don't know if.
But if you're good with throwing hatchets, maybe
who the fuck is good at throwing hatchets?
Indians.
What? So now the bunny man's Native American.
That would make sense too.
So it's a Native American.
They do wear
psycho.
Furs. They do wear furs.
That's true.
What is the furs? Oh, I guess because it's cold.
But, bunnies. Bunnies are furs.
Okay, but they would never leave half-eaten corpses. They would, you know, use the whole
skin
thing.
Skin them and yeah, keep going.
Right.
But maybe they'd blow their cover. The Indian cover.
God dang it. So, but, I mean, is this something that, if let's say that the bus accident happened. Mm-hmm. There were prisoners on there. Maybe they did capture the person, and they found him eating bunnies to stay alive, and that's where the myth starts, and then it's just like, oh, but don't go to that bridge, because that's where the bunny man hung everyone.
Did they say that the prisoners were white or black?
What does that have to do with
everything? Well, what if it was a Ku Klux Klan member trying to derail the van and kill them all?
Oh, in the suit?
Bunny, since maybe that could be...
Well, according to the creepypasta, the bus driver swerved to avoid something and tipped the van.
Would you avoid the Ku Klux Klan members? I would. Especially what
you wouldn't run them over?
Well, I'm white, so the van may not be that powerful.
Wait, I didn't know they had vans like really like in 1906.
See, that's
like,
another thing is how
maybe not like a bus like we would think. I don't know. Maybe it's a vehicle,
a wagon,
a carriage. What? Yeah.
No, I was thinking like the what was the first Ford?
You know, why didn't I think of that? At the beginning, it was like, man, tipped over the road.
1906?
1905, yeah, 5 and 6, what? Yeah.
Hmm.
Wasn't it? It wasn't until, like, the 20s before we saw, like, a real motorized vehicle, was it?
A van, at least?
I think it was 1910. Hold on. Keep talking. I'm going to find out.
That's actually, that might have poked a serious hole in the whole Bunny Man myth, is a van tipped over, brr. You know, 1905. But wait, there's more.
An example, a carriage with horses. I think it was a Ku Klux Klan.
The original Ford Model A is the first car produced by Ford, beginning production in 1903.
Yeah, but 2 years later, they come up with a van.
Yeah, exactly. 2 years later, they get a transport.
And that car that you're talking about, was it a crank start?
Yeah.
So there ain't no way.
Right.
Hold on.
I mean, these vehicles are only going like 20 miles per
hour.
How does that tip over?
And the 1910 was the first hovercraft.
Hold on. Keep talking.
I don't get it. I don't...
What was it? And your Klan theory would hold up because they were started around 1860-ish, so possible that in the 1900s, early 1900s.
But in 1906, though, were they... If it was black people and they were being transported, were they mingled at that time? Because what if they were just after one person, and it was a Ku Klux Klan?
I don't know. There's a whole lot of the story we're not getting.
That would make sense, though. I mean, if a guy's dressed in all white and he's got a hood,
you know, yeah.
And the flaps could, you know, people could easily mistake it.
The first mass-produced bus model was the B-type double-decker bus designed by Frank Serley and operated by the London General Omnibus Company. It entered service in 1910, and almost 3,000 had been built by the end of the decade. Hundreds saw military service on the Western Front during the First World War. So there was something? I guess is what
that could only go like 20 miles per hour.
No one can see the picture, and this is actually a tourist van where people can sit on top.
Tyler has a good point. It's only going like 20, 30 miles an hour. What a devastating accident it had to have been. But you gotta think of the material. It might have been, I don't know.
They're heavy. How does it tip over? You know that thing probably weighed...
Who knows?
All metal.
So maybe we just popped it all, and it's no fun anymore.
Sorry, guys.
We just ruined it.
It's like, there goes the myth. There's no vans in freaking 1905.
I mean, I still ain't gonna stand on the bridge.
But I mean, on a positive note, we all know how I feel about, you know, using animal
could
body
it,
parts.
Could it
and
have
shit
been a prison caravan?
They didn't clarify that. Okay.
Yeah. I assume that it was motorized.
But didn't it say that they fled through like the back windshield?
I don't know, you had the creepypasta.
Let me go back in here. Just take a sec.
The van tipped, assuming it was a giant motorized vehicle capable of tipping.
The convicts were gathered and piled into the bus. So it wasn't even a van, it was a bus.
Well, this is what creepypasta says. I doubt that it's got much research behind it.
But then you said that there's no history on, like, the prisoners or...
Right.
Yeah. You said there was a prison. A prison,
but
right.
It was in D.C.
Right. But there's no... Yeah, yeah, it wasn't even near the place that the story Fairfax. Originates. So...
Yeah. Well, I think that's it for the Bunny Man, really. Yeah. I mean, do anyone else have any comments on the Bunny Man?
Just
Bunny Man.
Like she said, an urban legend that got started, and now it's kind of a touristy thing.
And it really does... We'll do an episode on the Goat Man one day. It really does have a lot of Goat Man qualities to it.
Right.
And it seems like somewhere... Someone had, like, made up a story about don't go to the bridge, and then it got fused with the Goat Man.
Doesn't the Mothman have tendencies toward bridges?
Sort of. Like, there's the one bridge.
I don't think it was
the Mothman is a whole different...
Right. But you have the Mothman, Goat Man, now you have the Bunny Man.
Slender Man.
The Hat Man. You have so many men. When the women get their turn being creepy.
Yeah, this is... You know.
Yeah,
are you upset about
sexist?
This? There's a bunch of sexist creepypastas, if
we
you
got
ask
the
me.
The siren, though.
That's right. Ooh, sirens are fun.
What is that? What
you
is
know,
that?
You know what a siren
my
is?
My grammar's good.
The ones that sing to you.
Sing
and
lure
you in.
Oh, I just thought it was called a siren.
Yeah.
It's a siren.
Well, the southern, you know.
Siren?
You say siren. Yes.
Okay, let's go ahead and end this
and
before
we
just
like...
rabble. Rabble.
I like to rabble.
Yeah, Pandora's
rabble.
Box.
This is true. And that motherfucker can destroy a lot.
That's right.
So you can have all your crazy half-breeded men things. Goat men and...
Women are the true killers here.
Okay, mermaid.
Yes, and there's mermaids.
No, you're sitting there saying, you're half man, half goat, and this and that, and what about your half woman, half fish?
Tell me you wouldn't do a mermaid. Those things are those.
Where so we're gonna go.
Every pictures are so pretty.
If we could figure it out.
When
you're
Ariel,
absolutely
when
right.
When Ariel turned, on mermaid, when Ariel turned into a whole human, did Disney not make her look banging?
For a 16-year-old,
sex appeal.
Got to throw that out there.
I think we need to end this now before it gets really.
She
bad.
Wasn't even exotic at that point,
right?
Like, ugh, it's all ruined. Kids of Blame.
Everything. Hello and welcome to Kids Explain Everything. I'm your host, Toby. And who's my little co-host today?
Gibson again.
Gibson again? How old are you, Gibson again?
My name is not Gibson again.
Oh, well, you said that your name. I said, who's my little co-host? And you said Gibson again. I thought that was your name.
No, I said. So.
How old are you, Gibson, again?
7. No, Gibson!
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll get it right this time. Gibson again.
No!
Okay. For real, though. Gibson? Again, let's get started.
No!
No, I was saying, again, we need to get started in recording.
No, you say Gibson again.
Have you ever heard of the Bunny Man?
No.
What do you think?
You're talking about the new movie of the bunny.
What bunny?
Willy.
Tell me what you think the Bunny Man is.
I don't know.
Is he something that's cute and cuddly? Or is he something mean and scary?
I think... You're talking about the white bunny is in the wrestler having fight a while?
I have no idea what wrestler you're talking about.
Of
oh, you're talking about Adam Rose.
Yeah, you're talking about that.
I guess bunny. So, sure. Is that Bunny Man nice or mean?
Now he killed a black now, and now he...
Yeah, the last time we saw him, he was black, huh?
Yeah, and he quit being his team again. He was quit.
Yeah.
And he started not showing anymore.
Well, see, that's not the Bunny Man I'm talking about.
What Bunny Man?
I don't know. What do you think he is?
Just a loser.
He's a loser.
Because bunnies are losers.
Aw, not bunnies are sweet and cute and fluffy.
I'm talking about funny bunnies.
Funny bunnies?
That eat poop.
Ooh, gross. That's a gross bunny. I don't want to mess with that bunny. Well, if you had to make a scary... How would you make a scary bunny? with a scary bunny man. What would make a bunny man scary?
Put him fluffy and sharp teeth, red eyes, big dumbo ears. Oh, yeah. Fluffy and color red, red, dark eyes, over, and got blood on his teeth and sharp teeth and big dumbo ears.
Big dumbo ears?
Yeah.
Some, like, really tall bunny ears?
Sharp ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And have big sharp nails and be really big and fat.
Would he carry, like, a knife or something?
No, he just carry, like, a carrot.
A carrot?
A carrot gun.
A carrot gun?
Because he eat carrots.
That's right. Well, let's go ahead and end this one.
Let's do other ones.
Well, we might do more. So say goodbye, Gibson.
Goodbye. Kids of Blaine Everdeen.
We appreciate you listening to our show, and we would love it if you'd give us a review on iTunes and subscribe. Our show is also available on Stitcher, Google Play, and YouTube. You just search for Secret Transmission Podcast. You can also catch reruns of our latest episodes on the Podcast Radio Network at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Sundays, right after our pals, the Tattooed Bananas. That's on podcastradionetwork.net. You can leave us a voicemail on topics you'd like us to cover, or just say hi. You can tell us opinions of our previous episodes, or you can promote your own stuff, your YouTube channel, your podcast, comic book, short film, whatever you want. That number to the voicemail is 304-602-7444. You can follow us on Twitter at Secret Transpod. You can email us at secrettransmission@hotmail.com. And we hope you come back and listen to us try to explain the unexplainable.
Ready to say goodbye, Roger.